Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Polytech. Got a very interesting man on the line right now. His name is Andrew Puzner. Andrew is a graduate of Washington University Law School, where he was the senior editor of the Law Review. A very interesting guy, has some very interesting political ideas. We're going to talk about them perhaps later on during the course of this discussion. When he was practicing law in St. Louis, Andrew authored some legislation which the U.S. Supreme Court upheld in Webster versus Reproductive Services. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And when I got out of law school, I was looking for courtroom experience. You wanted to get courtroom experience, and it was tough. So I volunteered to defend people that were sitting in at the abortion clinic in St. Louis. They were it reminded me of the sit-ins from when I was in college. And ended up defending them and learned a lot about the issue when I was doing so, including the irrefutable evidence that human life begins at conception. There's really no scientific basis for claiming anything else. So when those cases started to, we won a lot of cases defending people on the basis that life begins at conception and using something called the justification defense, which said that the protesters were there to protect human life. And when I got to the end of those cases, there were some injunctions issued, and really the defense didn't work against an injunction. It occurred to me that we should pass a state law just stating that human life begins at conception and extending the rights of unborn children in areas such as tort law, which is personal injuries, and trust in the state's law and criminal law, so that if somebody killed, if you shot a mother in the stomach and you killed her unborn child, that would be murder. You had taken the life without her consent. Mm-hmm. We put an exception in the bill for abortion because the Supreme Court declared you couldn't regulate abortion. And the law passed in Missouri, and it declared human life begins at conception and applied to the interpretation of all laws in the state of Missouri, and still does. It worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and much to the dismay of many people on the pro-abortion side of the debate, the Supreme Court upheld it, and they were actually one vote short in that case of reversing Roe versus Wade, which I think would have put a lot of issues behind us a long time ago. But in any event, we won the case, and that is the law in Missouri and now certain other states as well.
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that right now, if you go by the state law, forget the federal mandate, but you go by the state law, in Missouri right now, it is against the law for a woman to have an abortion. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. We exempted abortion in the law.
Okay.
Because what we said in the law was that that it was subject to Supreme Court decisions. So if
while the
Supreme Court has Roe versus Wade declaring that abortion's legal, then that law wouldn't apply to abortion. If the Supreme Court returns that decision back to the states, then that law would make abortion illegal.
I understand. Okay, that makes it a lot clearer, and there's a lot of common sense involved in that. Andy, you wrote a book back in 2010. You co-authored a book. It's called Job Creation, How It Really Works, et cetera, et cetera. The Capitalist Comeback, the Trump Boom, and the Left's Plan to Stop It. I want to take as much time right now as you would like to discuss this book. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the first one on job creation was, it came out in 2010, and was an effort to try and get the Obama administration to do some rational things with respect to creating jobs. We recommended that they cut taxes, that they reduce regulations, and that they focus on domestic energy production. Now, we didn't cover trade in that in the book, but we felt those three items would generate the kind of job growth we weren't seeing in the Obama years. You might recall that the Obama administration promised that if we passed their $800 billion stimulus bill, mm-hmm. that unemployment would never go above 8%. Well, it went above 8% the month the bill was passed and stayed there for the next 43 months. So the job creation just wasn't happening coming out of a recession as it should. You should have really dynamic job creation coming out of a recession. So we wrote the book to try and lay out a path so that the administration could understand what it needed to do to get the job market moving. Now, That President Trump obviously took office in 2016 and enacted exactly that plan. He cut taxes, he reduced regulations, he focused on domestic energy production, and he also added in focusing on free and fairer trade agreements so that other countries wouldn't take advantage of American workers and businesses. And that became very, very successful, which is when I wrote the second book, which is called The Capitalist Comeback, The Trump Boom and the Left's Plot to Stop It. And I went through the history of the progressive movement, a lot of things that people aren't getting in high school and college anymore. In fact, the comment I get from people who've read the book, the most common comment is, you know, this book should be mandatory reading in high school or in college classes because, you know, you're giving them a lot of the history that they don't get. And I tried to tie the economics to the history and make it very readable, but basically said, and this came out in early 2018, so a little more than a year after Trump took office, but was written obviously in the year before that, as soon as he took office. And I said, look, the policies President Trump is implementing are going to have a tremendous impact on the economy. We're going to have incredible job growth, incredible job creation, and here's why. And went through the impact of the unions, the impact of our education system, the Bernie Sanders group's impact on what could happen in this country, but also the sort of the basis of our American free enterprise system coming out of the monarchies of Europe in the 1700s, in the late 1700s, and how it really had a tremendous impact worldwide in reducing poverty. Poverty's come down tremendously because of American freestyle capitalism, and GDP per capita, in other words, the amount that people earn across the globe, has gone up dramatically because of American-style free market capitalism. So the second book lays all of that out, and I hope people will read it. It's, I think, a good read.
Well, we'll definitely offer another side, Andy. I want to talk about one other thing about yourself, and then we're going to take a commercial break. We're about 2 minutes away from that. But I want to talk about you and your wife simply because I want people to know exactly what type of, from a personality standpoint, what type of guy I'm talking with right now. Now, you guys are very active in charities, both local and national, all around the country, certainly in your area, which I believe you live in Nashville, and you were in Santa Barbara, but also worldwide. You are contributors, for example, to an organization that my wife and I have been contributors to for a long time, called the Mary No Fathers and Brothers, which basically supports a Father Conroy's ministry with AIDS in Africa, specifically in Cambodia. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would, Andy.
Yes, sir. Father Kevin's a great guy, and anybody who contributes to the Mary No Fathers, you can specify it be Father for Kevin, Father Kevin Conroy, but he works with AIDS-addicted children in Cambodia. And other impoverished peoples throughout that section of Asia. It's funny. We met. I got the Alumni of the Year award at Cleveland State University. They give it to 5 people each year, and Father Kevin got it. He was introduced right before I was, which made my speech a difficult one to give because you follow the guy who's helping AIDS-afflicted children in Cambodia. It's a hard act to follow.
Yeah, it is.
But we got to be friends after that speech, and we have been very proud to support him and the Mary No Fathers.
Well, I want to say good for you. Now, I want to get into politics right after the commercial break. The reason I want to do that is because in 2012 and then again in 2016, Andy, you served as a delegate to the Republican National Convention, and you were also the chairman of the Platform Committee, Subcommittee on the Economy for Job Creation and the Debt, etc., etc. Those are items that are incredibly important right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be right back with this gentleman. We're going to talk about political issues as they stand in the country today.